From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the subject of the beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification. The text is found in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. During the previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns expounded the beauty of how God imputes the righteousness of Christ to guilty sinners apart from any works they have done. Justification deals with the believer's legal standing before God. According to 2 Corinthians 5:21, God has made Christ to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is what makes the gospel so astounding to sinful men. Here is a standing of righteousness before God that is totally apart from good works. It is indeed beautiful. Turning his attention to the basis of this justification, Dr. Cairns demonstrates from the Old Testament scriptures how Abraham was justified by faith. The Bible statement is amazingly simple. Abraham believed God, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 14. I will help thee, saith the Lord. This morning let us hear the Lord Jesus speak to each one of us, I will help thee. It is a small thing for me, thy God, to help thee. Consider what I have done already. What? Not help thee? Why, I bought thee with my blood. What? Not help thee? I have died for thee. And if I have done the greater, will I not do the less? Help thee? It is the least thing I will ever do for thee. I have done more, and will do more. Before the world began, I chose thee. I made the covenant for thee. I laid aside my glory and became a man for thee. I gave my life for thee. And if I did all this, I will surely help thee now. In helping thee, I am giving thee what I bought for thee already. If thou hadst need of 1,000 times as much help, I would give it thee. Thou requirest little compared with what I am ready to give. 'Tis much for thee to need, but it is nothing for me to bestow. Help thee? Fear not. If there were an ant at the door of thy granary asking for help, it would not ruin thee to give him a handful of thy wheat. And thou art nothing but a tiny insect at the door of my all-sufficiency. I will help thee. O my soul, is not this enough? Dost thou need more strength than the omnipotence of the United Trinity? Dost thou want more wisdom than exists in the Father, more love than displays itself in the Son, or more power than is manifest in the influences of the Spirit? Bring hither thine empty pitcher. Surely this well will fill it. Haste, gather up thy wants, and bring them here, thine emptiness, thy woes, thy needs. Behold, this river of God is full for thy supply. What canst thou desire beside? Go forth, my soul, in this thy might. The eternal God is thine helper. Fear not, I am with thee. O, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid.
Lord, have mercy, and save us through you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
return this evening as we study the Epistle to the Romans, to chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we're reading again the brief passage, verse 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. The Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His word for His own name's sake. Remember where we are in Romans, in chapter 4. Having established back in chapter 3:28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. Paul is proceeding to defend that truth against typical objections that would come from his Jewish fellow countrymen. They would immediately trot out the example of Abraham. Abraham was a righteous man, a good man, who because of his righteousness and because of the merit of his faith was accepted and greatly blessed of God. So Paul immediately says, in effect, let us look at Abraham. Was he justified by works? Or was he justified by free grace through faith without his works? And he concludes that he was not justified by works, but he was justified by the grace of God. And that grace was not mediated, is the theological term. You might use the word obtained or merited, but it didn't come to him through his works. It came to him through faith alone. In fact, in establishing that, Paul makes the argument, if Abraham worked for God's salvation, then what he received was not a gift, but a wage. If he worked for it, then he merited it. If God gave him what he deserved, then he gave him what he owed to Abraham. He didn't give him the gift of grace. And of course, the very thought of that is obnoxious to readers of both the Old and the New Testament. And so Paul goes on to argue to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. And if I may cut across all that I've said about that last part, faith counted for righteousness, the equivalent expression is, he is justified by faith alone. So what he's saying is, to the man who doesn't work to be accepted by God, doesn't work to establish the righteousness that he needs to be able to stand at the judgment bar of God, to that man who believes on him that justifies the ungodly, to that man is given justification by faith alone. And at that point, Paul says, now let's come to a second outstanding example. Having looked at Abraham, and of course he's going to return to Abraham, but on this point of justifying the ungodly, he says, let me throw in the additional evidence that we can get from the experience of David. Even as David also describes the blessing of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without or apart from works. Then he quotes Psalm 32 and the first two verses. Now, the subject of these opening verses of Psalm 32, the subject of Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, is a wonderful subject. It's one that really deserves more than a couple of sermons. It deserves the study of a lifetime. Because what Paul is talking about, what David is talking about, is the subject of the beauty, the basis, and the blessing of free justification. Justification by grace through faith without works. The beauty of it. Now, we got as far as looking at that last Lord's Day. We didn't get any further than that very first thing. The beauty of it. The beauty of justification is that looking the full blackness of our sin straight in the face, without palliating our sin, without excusing it, without in any way trying to work around it, facing it in all the blackness and darkness and hideousness that is in it, looking at our sin as it really is, justification deals with our legal standing before God, goes right to the root of our state before the Lord, and gives us a legal ground upon which to come to God and be declared perfectly, absolutely, sinlessly, stainlessly, and thank God, irrevocably, eternally righteous. That's the beauty of justification. As I said last Sabbath day, and repeat it this morning, there are other aspects to the saving actions of God on behalf of His people. Election is a saving action of God. Predestination to the image of Christ is a saving action of God. Sanctification is a saving action of God. Glorification is a saving action of God. There are many things that the Lord does in the whole scope of salvation, but justification is a key element apart from which there can be nothing else. Because this is the aspect of God's saving action that deals with our legal status before God. As I pointed out last week, the righteousness with which justification deals is the righteousness that God imputes to us. It is not the holiness that He imparts to us by the action of His Spirit. That is another thing entirely. The ground of this whole thing is an imputed righteousness, and that's the beauty of justification. Now we come to the basis of this free justification. Remember that Paul is citing David, and what he says in Psalm 32, in support of this apparently radical, revolutionary, even outrageous statement, God justifies the ungodly. Now that was one that really took the Jews by storm. And not only they, but the generations of professing Christians ever since. This is what sounds so revolutionary. Think of it. God justifies the ungodly. In other words, justification does not depend upon our being godly. Our justification with God, our acceptance with God, our legal standing at the throne of God does not depend upon our personal holiness or godliness. And that's what sounds so revolutionary. But let me say it sounds revolutionary or radical only because men throughout the ages have consistently rejected the plain witness of the Word of God. I have referred to the Jewish claim about Abraham, a righteous man who, because he was such, was accepted by God. And they spoke freely of the merit of Abraham's faith. Of course, Paul denied that entirely. But you know, when you look at the case of Abraham, if I may regress for a moment, where was he when God found him? He was an Ur of the Chaldees. What was he? He was a member of a heathen, idolatrous family. That's where he was and that's what he was. We read in Joshua 24, verses 2 and 3, that Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they served other gods. They served other gods. Now, the antecedent of they is Terah, Abraham, and Nahor. They served other gods. That's where Abraham was. That's what Abraham was. And the Lord said, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood. And I led him throughout all the land of Canaan. In other words, the sovereign grace of God reached into the heart of heathendom. God placed his hand upon a heathen idolater, called him by his grace, revealed himself to him. And Abraham believed God. I believe that's the point at which he was justified. As I pointed out, the later reference in Genesis 15 does not identify that later time as the point of his justification. It's simply saying then he was already a believing one and therefore a justified one. Abraham, therefore the heathen, was not righteous before, but as the result of being justified by faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.